Listener, we're all trying to get healthier, buying supplements, following the latest workout trends. But what if the newest tip from your favorite health influencer isn't exactly what your body needs? True Diagnostic helps you find out the exact supplements and lifestyle changes that can make a difference, and which ones might just be wasting your money. I just took the test myself. The kit arrived at my door. I did a quick, simple finger prick at home, then dropped it in the prepaid return package. That's it. Now I'm waiting on my results. Should have them in a few weeks. I'm genuinely curious to see what my biological age looks like versus my actual age, and what specific changes I should make. True Diagnostic uses advanced epigenetic testing to analyze over a million biomarkers. Their True Age test measures how fast you're actually aging across 11 organ systems. True Health tests over 100 biomarkers like vitamins, inflammation, and metabolism, or get the combo for both. Either way, you get a clear 90-day plan. Your only job? Follow the three most important actions you can take for 90 days, then retest to see your progress. This is trusted by top longevity clinics and health professionals, not just consumers at home. Right now, my listeners can get 20% off at truediagnostic.com using code Obscura20 at checkout. That's truediagnostics.com and use code Obscura20 for 20% off today. Choose True Age, True Health, or the Combo Kit as a one-time purchase or subscription. Listener, when I first released an episode on Marvin Morales, I had no clue that he would spring up again. I simply discovered a case that I couldn't ignore. A police officer ended up in such an absurd yet tragic situation, and it made for an interesting podcast script. When it was done, I moved on. Jim Woody, a longtime member of the Patreon, summed it up best when he said, quote, "Addiction can strike anyone in any profession. This guy was lucky a coworker found him quickly. Otherwise, he may not have made it. I hope he gets help." Another longtime patron, Jamie Coulter, had this to say, "Sad all the way around. I was a healthcare professional in active addiction. My addiction wasn't street drugs, but it still wrecks lives. Addiction doesn't discriminate. Hope this officer gets the help he needs." And that about summed up my feelings for the case. I hope that, after being relieved of his position as police officer, that he was able to move past his addiction. I assume you know where this is going, listener. Subjects of a true crime podcast do not receive updates for carrying on a peaceful life. They receive updates when their life takes a dark and tragic turn. This expanded episode will be Obscura, closing the book on Marvin Morales. I put the idea of this episode to vote on the Patreon, and it seemed agreed upon to make either a second part or make a completed version of the episode. I decided it made the most sense to make one complete episode and a clean break from the previous episode.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
Sacramento County, California, 2023. Deputy Marvin Morales initiates a suspicious subject stop. The suspect was seen dancing in a parking lot, clearly high on drugs. This wasn't the first time Morales had stopped this specific subject. I'm going to let audio from the initial confrontation play out.
What's up, bro? What's good? You okay? You're having a lot of fun out here, bro.
Yeah. You got new sunglasses.
Oh, yeah?
So let's get a haircut.
Dude, I forgot your name, bro. What is it again?
Just go for it.
I just saw you last week over here, bro.
Yeah.
You was dancing at the same time, too, man.
Yeah.
You promised me your best dance moves.
Who?
You.
Yeah?
You promised me your best dance moves.
Yeah, definitely.
What's up? You don't see the way.
I gotta go back to downtown, dance there. They're all waiting for me. Last time I went, the stadium was about to fall down.
You were about to pass out the other night, though, last week. You was on that Fetty.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Is that what that foil is right there in your pocket, or be real with it? Just be real. Just be real.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah?
Could be.
Could be, is it? I think it is.
I'm not sure.
Yeah?
Not for now.
So you could either hand it over, or I could put you in cuffs and take it out your pockets, up to you.
It's not a legal paper.
Not the one in your little drug pocket. Nah, you hit it.
Huh?
You hit it, bro. I'm giving you the chance just to hand it over.
Oh. Do you have to? So I hand it to you, and then what?
Come on. Hand it over.
Can I get it back?
How about that straw right there? Right there.
You know how it goes, man.
Empty your pockets.
I thought I'm good.
No, you ain't good, bro. Want that shit, bro? You almost passed out last week.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, dude. You were about to Narcan you.
Nah, that wasn't me, sir.
That female deputy from last week?
I didn't go there.
You want me to do my job?
No. In general.
I'm not going to play the next part for you, as the audio is a bit dull, but Deputy Morales finds a small aluminum foil package on the suspect. He logs the drugs within the foil as meth and cited the man, then let him go. Listener, this stop was just a ploy. As stated before, Deputy Morales, who I will now refer to only as Morales going forward, knew the man he cited would have those drugs on him. You see, the goal was to gain access to the man's drug stash. What Morales didn't know, though, is that the drug stash isn't meth. No, it's fentanyl. And listener, if you know anything about fentanyl, you know that it's a lot more potent than meth. At Central Station, Morales was spotted on CCTV, casually browsing his phone while walking into the restroom. Once in the stall, he takes his belt off, the belt that held his service gun, and places it on a baby changing station. He then drops his pants, leaving only his underwear exposed. You see, listener, there's a theory as to why this man dropped trowel, and it's an embarrassing one. Those that partake in meth describe masturbating for hours, at least a certain percentage of them, sometimes as many as 6 to 12 hours. If Deputy Morales was familiar with meth, it stands to reason he was found with his pants down in front of the mirror, browsing adult material, walking into the restroom, ready to use meth and then masturbate into the department sink. Disgusting, I know. Well, it's about to get even more gross. Let me read to you an experience report from a meth user that engages in this level of edging, just to give you an idea what kind of depravity mixing meth and masturbation can cause. Quote, I took a taxi down to Buckingham Palace and a gram of shard in my pocket. To make the experience more exciting, I decided to prep my first shot in the bathroom. I had eyeballed a tenth of the bag and decided to shoot it into my penis vein for the excitement factor. Yes, I still have all of my veins. I'm honestly not that addicted to meth. I just like doing the dick vein for the erotic pain-filled sensation. The writer continues on. I forgot to add that this was also a tour through the palace with a tour guide and a group of people. I quickly joined the group after I shot my shard into my penile vein. I fast walked towards the group with a shot of meth flowing through my veins. I placed my hand inside of my trench coat and began to stroke myself. As we walked, the sensation of being around this crowd of people in a powerful world's figure palace was truly arousing. The ultimate thrill is combining so many different types of things into one experience. We had made our way into the Royal Gifts Exhibition, where all of the Queen of England's gifts were bestowed. My cock was throbbing rock hard in my trench coat, with a two-day load brewing for ejaculating. As our group was moving past the Vessel of Friendship, which, if you didn't know, was presented by the President of China to England, I moved to the back of the group and spurted probably only one-tenth of my load into the Friendship Vessel. Sadly, this is what I call a misfire in my book. The rest of the load went into my trench coat, which was quite gross. I hurried off from the group and ran into the bathroom. Back to Morales. Pants dropped and ready to go, he consumes what he thinks is meth. Except, it's not a small quantity of meth he's taken into his body. No, listener. It's a large quantity of fentanyl. And when he uses it, he almost instantly hits the floor of the bathroom. He falls so quickly, his feet and legs fall behind his back, going full scorpion. He's left prone, laying on the back of his heels. Now, luckily for Morales, a fellow deputy happened to have to use the restroom shortly after. Listener, I'm going to play the audio of the deputy finding Morales, who is in the process of overdosing. Over the course of the audio, Morales is given 4 tubes of Narcan nasal spray, bringing him back to the land of the living each time.
Come on, Mark. Yeah.
We're here, kid.
said strong pulse.
Don't worry about that later.
Strong pulse.
We're worried only about his mental right now.
He has strong pulse respiration. This appears to be similar.
How many more RPM do you have?
He's got four in him right now.
Come on, Mark. Come on, man. Come on.
Come on, Mark.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
Lift his head up a little bit.
Come on, Mark. You're good, bro. Come on, man.
Get his airway straight. Yeah.
Come on, Mark.
Wake up, Mark.
Let me tell you about Chime. They're changing the way people bank. And honestly, my younger self would have benefited from this. Chime isn't just another banking app, listener. They've built smarter, fee-free banking for everyday people, not the 1%. Forget overdraft fees. Forget monthly fees. Forget minimum balance fees. With Chime, that's all gone. Here's what makes them different. With MyPay, you can access up to $500 of your paycheck anytime and get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. They've also got this new Chime card, which lets you build credit history with your own money while earning cash back on everyday spending. No annual fees, no interest, no strings attached. Plus, you can earn up to 3% APY on savings. That's 8 times higher than traditional banks. If you ever need help, they've got 5-star rated customer service with real humans available 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. And it just takes a few minutes to sign up. Head to chime.com/obscura. That is chime.com/obscura.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services, a secured Chime Visa credit card, and MyPay line of credit provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. MyPay eligibility requirements apply, and credit limit ranges $20 to $500. Optional services and products may have fees or charges. See chime.com/fees info. Advertised annual percentage yield with Chime Plus status only. Otherwise, 1.00% APY applies. No min balance required. Chime card on-time payment history may have a positive impact on your credit score. Results may vary. See chime.com for details and applicable terms.
Luxury bedding is one of those things you don't fully appreciate until you sleep on it. That was my experience with Quince. The softness, the weight, the quality of the materials. It's the kind of difference you feel immediately and then notice more with every night. I thought my old sheets were fine until I tried Quince. The difference is unreal. They're so soft and cozy that my morning alarm has become more of a suggestion than a rule. Quince has European linen. They get softer with every wash. Organic cotton sheets that feel luxurious. Breathable bamboo that stays cool all night. Plus, premium quilts, comforters, and duvet inserts. Everything you need to build a bed that actually feels finished. The best part? Their bedding is half the cost of similar brands. By partnering with top artisans and cutting out the middleman, Quince passes the savings on to you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices with premium fabrics and finishes. You're already sleeping in your bed every single night, listener. Why not make it nicer? Turn up the luxury when you turn in with Quince. Go to quince.com/obscura for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/obscura. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/obscura.
Come on, Mark. Is there anything around him at all there?
What's that?
Yeah, there's a pipe in there. Yeah.
What's up?
There's I saw a pipe. It's sitting right there.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go, Mark.
Keep breathing, bud.
Keep breathing, Mark.
Come on, Mark.
You're good, man.
Come on, dude. You're going to be okay. You're good. Come on.
Hey.
All right. There we go.
Let's go.
There we go. He's coming to a little more.
Yeah.
Seems like it's starting to kick in better.
Strong.
Come on, Mark. Come on. Come on. Is it rapid at all, or is it normal?
Nah, it's rapid.
Okay. What's up, guys? He's been down for about 5-6 minutes now.
Morales survives this encounter, but just barely. While being loaded into an EMT vehicle, he lies to his co-workers, telling them that he gave a drug citation earlier in the day and must have gotten fentanyl in his gloves. His co-workers immediately set to work, searching for both the gloves and the drugs, both of which they never will find.
Nope.
Do we want the masks on? If it's been all been there for a while, or...
Said it was in a glove.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
More gloves,
I felt those didn't put anything in it.
That one's empty.
Nah, I'm not seeing anything in the box.
No, I checked that one.
Didn't feel like there was anything in them. Not that one.
Would probably not be in his ticket,
though. Actually, turn the light over here, search.
No. Something else.
Damp, but they'll fill. Don't feel anything on that one. I don't see any other gloves floating around in there, do you?
No.
I don't think it would. I wouldn't
think so, but.
Unless he already. Well,
yes.
Can you do me a favor?
What do you need?
Actually, I'll have.
What do you need?
Pull up his last call that he was on and see if he already logged anything in RMS for it. I'm surprised we haven't done that, and if we're not finding it, he could have already possibly booked it.
I was like, he was on a 415 family and it didn't say anything about dope.
No, he was on a, he collected dope at like 6,
6:30
ish.
Okay, because he was on a 415 family after that.
Because we could check for your grubbing, right?
Yeah. Grab my small light because I'm not seeing anything. He said the last, what was related to me is the last he saw was it went into a glove and into the trunk.
Right before.
Into a glove and into the trunk?
Yeah. The guy told him it was meth according to the updates.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
not saying it's not in his pockets, maybe.
Well, that's going to be the next check.
But I don't see anything loose.
You want to repat down the gloves? Here, I'm not feeling anything in them because it said it was foil, so I know there should be a little squishiness to them. Nothing on this side.
Yeah,
I unlocked it so we can check that side.
Driver's side door.
This is odd. It's a little odd.
Well, did the wait, didn't have it.
No. No, he got from him that the last he saw was that he put it in the glove and tossed it in the trunk, right?
Yeah, this was the cops and glass man last time we saw it.
Well, I mean,
unless he heard.
That's fine. I mean,
so that's why I have them checking in hopes that he already logged it in.
Did they cite somebody for it?
Yeah. So it should have gotten booked.
Okay.
Or it should be floating around somewhere. That's my thing. I'm still rolling hot since we're still looking around in his car.
Nothing's in RMS, but in the call it says he secured the meth in the hatch of his patrol car.
Yeah.
So
but there's nothing in RMS.
Okay.
When I looked at property reports.
He said foil with
in a glove, right?
Did he specify glove?
I mean,
first aid.
There's nothing in it.
Just, how often do we just get rid of dope?
But he cited it.
But he
cited it.
You're right.
Yep.
Yeah, but it might just be an old busted meth pipe because there was no mention of a pipe in the call.
Yeah, but there's glass right here and there's foil. Or there's not foil, but there's.
Yeah, it might just be an old meth pipe, Serge.
Huh?
So that might just be an old pipe. I'll toss it in there, but that's literally just a shattered pipe.
Well, I mean, is that what it was? It was foil,
it
right?
It said what the guy said was meth, so it was off-white substance and foil.
No mention of a pipe, though?
No. Yeah. just because of where that's at. I'm going to assume
it's put his carrier vest on your chair. Yeah. Your, maybe it's in that.
Could be. Did we already
it's
we already check?
I didn't check that at all.
It was like a few calls.
I was the third uniform, but I was like the sixth person here.
Who knows? Based on
at the hospital, Morales is surrounded by support. At the time, his coworkers had no idea their fellow deputy was lying to them through his teeth.
Yeah, you can send Hugh over here. We're in room 23.
Okay.
It's a left hand carver pocket.
You found some?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The glove that what may have caused this from, that exposure, mm-hmm. It has a... It was a foil that they pulled off of, like, from a call. And I think it just... You can feel the foil in there. Yeah. I don't want to fucking open it up and get us all exposed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. Shit happens quick. Mm-hmm. So I'm always worried about... See, like, so many times I search people with no gloves.
Yeah.
Not even thinking. You know? And it's like, fuck, like...
All lucky.
Like that one cop in SoCal,
mm-hmm.
He was exposed to it. They were just getting rid of some drugs that they found.
Yeah, dude,
and he wasn't touching with no gloves, and boom, hit him. He fell out right there.
Right out, dude, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that fentanyl thing.
Yeah.
Like, supposedly
ingested,
like.
It's transdermal.
Your skin will absorb,
yeah.
Absorb it.
Yeah.
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 It doesn't take much.
It would help the concentration.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Well,
like, the stuff they do in hospitals is micrograms, right?
Yeah, it's mics.
It, out here, it's in grams. So it's, obviously, it's 1 gram with this is enough to, like, screw somebody up.
Yeah.
It's good.
Less,
it all
less than
that.
Well,
like a...
Yeah.
Like
you
a...
Know
what I mean? Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Just like a tiny speck could kill you.
Yeah.
It's pretty
good. Minimal fraction of your pinky nail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Like, I really am surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Know. All right, don't put that on me. Yeah. I'm just... Hey.
No way.
I mean, it's... It's one of those things, man. How many people we contact, how many drug carriers we find.
Mm-hmm.
I search people with no gloves all the time.
Yeah.
How does your
outfit? Well, most of the time I do.
Well, you guys be carrying our pen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all got it. I'm glad you're all right, man.
Morales, of course, was eventually caught. They found the pipe he used on the bathroom floor. This was a pipe he had confiscated from another suspect while on the job. Morales later admitted that he used the drug, but likely out of the sheer, crushing, just absolutely brutal embarrassment, claimed his intent was suicide, that he had been depressed. Now, listener, his body language on CCTV betrays this narrative. His lowered pants also tells another story. That pipe he confiscated? He claimed in a report he disposed of the pipe at Central Station. Yet, in reality, months earlier when he got the pipe, he smoked the meth residue left in the pipe at least 4 times. No, Morales brought both shame to himself and his department. He tried to submit a letter of resignation, citing personal reasons. This letter was rejected by his superiors, and instead, he was fired.
Internal affairs documents show this all started the night of October 24th, 2023, when Deputy Marvin Morales conducted a, quote, suspicious subject stop. The report says he recovered drugs in a piece of tinfoil that he thought was meth. We now know it was fentanyl. He cited the suspects and left. A few hours later, body camera video shows another deputy finding Morales passed out on the floor of a bathroom stall. The report says Morales smoked the drugs out of a pipe, then collapsed.
Morales! Wake up, bro!
The other deputy administered multiple doses of Narcan, and Morales was taken to the hospital where he became conscious again. And the report notes this caused emotional distress to Deputy Morales' partners who responded to save his life. There was a large-scale emergency response, which you can see in this video when our crews were on scene. The report says while Deputy Morales was at the hospital, samples of his hair tested positive for meth, which they say typically indicates chronic use.
It was a Tuesday morning in early December 2025 when security cameras captured the unthinkable. In a quiet Elk Grove neighborhood, a mother monitoring her home from work saw her husband, Marvin Morales, repeatedly stabbing their 11-year-old son. The boy collapsed on the floor of their house on Farrell Way. She dialed 911 immediately, her voice breaking through the dispatch lines.
So there are cameras inside the residence, and the mother had seen that an assault had happened between the father and the son, and she called police immediately for us to respond.
Had you responded to that house in the past for any incidents prior to this?
We had only responded to that residence once before, and it was this past October for a medical call.
Elk Grove officers reached the 7600 blocks within minutes. They entered the residence and located the child, his body marked by multiple stab wounds. Paramedics applied every possible intervention at the scene, but he was declared dead upon arrival at the hospital. Inside the home, a six-year-old daughter remained, shielded from the worst of it. She underwent checks and was returned to her mother that same day. Morales had not waited around. He escaped in his Nissan Armada SUV moments before the first responders pulled up. The family's gun safe stood open and empty. Firearms legally registered to him were unaccounted for. Alerts went out across the region. He was marked as armed, unpredictable, and on the run. This was no random act of violence from a stranger. Morales, at 40, carried a history that made the events all the more confounding. He had patrolled the streets of Sacramento County as deputy sheriff, starting in 2017, fresh from military service. His training covered everything from high-speed pursuits to de-escalation techniques and firearm handling. Yet, that foundation crumbled under the weight of his own choices. By February 2024, he had Listener. After spending hours researching the darkest corners of true crime, sometimes you need something to help you decompress. That's where Mood comes in. Mood.com is an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC products right to your door. We're talking gummies, flower, pre-rolls, edibles. They've got products designed for specific vibes. Need to wind down after a heavy episode? They've got sleepy time gummies. Want something for focus during those long research sessions? They've got that too. They even have options for feeling euphoric or, let's say, enhancing other activities. Personally, I'm a fan of their Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies. They kick in fast and actually help quiet my brain after a long day of diving into cases. Everything ships discreetly. It's all backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. And best of all, Obscura listeners get 20% off their first order. Head to mood.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 20% off. That's mood.com with code Obscura. Listener, if you're looking for your next heart-pounding thriller, let me tell you about Run on Red by Noelle W. Eiley. This book talk viral suspense hit is returning in a deluxe special edition with stunning stenciled edges, and it is as beautiful as it is intense. When my wife read this book, she genuinely could not put it down. Every chapter tightened the tension. Every page made her more nervous for what was coming next. It follows two women stranded on a remote country road with no cell signal, trapped in a terrifying game of survival. What begins as fear turns into resilience as they fight back against those hunting them. If you love the twists of Freda McFadden, the grit of Karen Slaughter, and the psychological edge of John Mars, this book belongs on your shelf. The deluxe edition of Run on Red is available February 24th. Do not miss it. Signed under pressure, mere days from termination for dishonesty. In the eyes of the law, he was a civilian again, stripped of any official power.
December 2nd, 2025. 9 hours, 43 minutes, 44 seconds.
Sacramento Sheriff.
Hey, it's San Joaquin County Sheriff's Office.
Hi.
We are trying to get deputies started to the 187 vehicle that you are in pursuit of.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get an updated location for our deputies to start towards.
Latest update I have is speeds are 100, still southbound 5. And it looks like, it keeps changing on me, let me look at it.
Do you know what exit?
Yeah, it looks like we're south of Highway 12 now.
Just south of Highway 12?
Correct. And
okay.
Let me see. Okay, they're coming up on Highway 12 right this minute, so hold on a minute. Let's see if he passes. Looks like they got a spike on him. They're still approaching Highway 12. It's the left tire, good spike. Still southbound. And you guys are aware, this guy's a former deputy of ours, correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Everyone wants to be en route to this.
The chase ignited around 9:30 that December morning. Automated license plate readers and an undercover team picked up the SUV southbound on Interstate 5, close to Pocket Road and Laguna Boulevard. These automated license plate readers, commonly known as ALPRs, have become fixtures in law enforcement and public safety operations. These systems use cameras and software to scan and process vehicle license plates on a massive scale. Proponents hail them as efficient crime-fighting tools. Detractors view them as instruments of pervasive surveillance that threaten personal privacy. ALPR systems operate through a straightforward yet sophisticated process. High-speed cameras mounted on police cruisers, fixed poles along roadways, highway overpasses, or even mobile trailers, continuously photograph passing vehicles. These cameras incorporate infrared lighting to capture clear images regardless of time of day or weather conditions. Once an image is obtained, optical character recognition software analyzes it. The program isolates the license plate area, enhances the visual details, and converts the alphanumeric characters into machine-readable text. This extracted data is then compared in real time against a database of interest known as hot lists. Such lists might include stolen vehicles, cars linked to wanted persons, Amber Alerts, or outstanding warrants. A match prompts an instant alert to nearby officers, complete with the vehicle's location and other details. Beyond immediate responses, the systems store extensive records for each scan. These include the plate number, exact date and time, GPS coordinates of the capture, and frequently a contextual photo of the vehicle or its occupants. All information flows to centralized servers, sometimes operated by private firms, building vast archives of vehicle movements across regions. The capability has delivered measurable results. Police departments credit ALPRs with recovery of stolen cars, apprehending fugitives, and aiding investigations into serious crimes. The technology automates what was once required manual effort, allowing officers to focus on higher priority tasks. Yet, listener, the same attributes that drive these successes lie at the heart of the controversies. At the forefront is the issue of mass surveillance. ALPRs do not target specific suspects. They indiscriminately record data on virtually every vehicle that passes within its range. Over time, this creates detailed logs of where people travel, when, and in what patterns. Such records can reveal intimate aspects of daily life, from visits to medical facilities and houses of worship, to attendance at protests or meetings with associates. Privacy advocates argue that this level of monitoring chills free movement and association, effectively turning public roads into zones of constant observation. Unlike a single officer following one car, ALPR networks scale this tracking to millions of individuals, and without cause. Data retention amplifies the problem. Policies vary widely by jurisdiction. Some agencies purge non-relevant scans after a few days, while others hold information for months or years. Hackers have targeted these repositories, and reports of internal misuse abound, including officers querying systems to track personal acquaintances or sharing data in ways that bypass local oversight. After receiving the needed information from the automated license plate reader, Sheriff Jim Cooper eventually spotted the Nissan Armada and broadcast the sighting. What followed was a coordinated effort across agencies. Sacramento County deputies, including those with canine units, Elk Grove Police, and California Highway Patrol troopers. Vehicles hit speeds of over 100 miles per hour. Slicing through lanes, hugging the shoulder amid thickening fog and the press of morning commuters, the pursuit covered roughly 25 miles, a blur of flashing lights and radio chatter that tested every protocol for containing a fleeing suspect. Highway Patrol deployed spike strips along the route, at least one tire shredded, sending plumes of smoke trailing the SUV. Then, in San Joaquin County, near the merge of Interstate 5 and Highway 12, South Lodi, control slipped away. The vehicle launched off the roadway, tumbled down a steep embankment, flipped over, and wedged itself between two trees after glancing off one. The crash site became a frozen tableau of twisted metal and scattered debris. Officers converged, rifles leveled, advancing with measured caution. Footage from body cameras and dashboard units preserved the raw urgency. Commands echoed relentlessly. Put your hands in the air. Do not reach. Walk to us now, Marvin. Walk to us. Do not reach. Marvin, do not do it. Morales complied briefly, releasing an item from his grasp, but then he pivoted back towards the SUV, extracting something encased in black leather. It resembled a rifle, its stock and barrel outlined clear in the frame. He raised it in the direction of the line of officers. The canine deputies from Sacramento County opened fire first.
K-97,
I'm sorry. Are you asking for a
backup?
Hands up!
Subject's coming up.
Hands
up.
Gun! Got a gun. Drop it!
Can you repeat? Rifle up!
K-97,
you
can come through and see.
Hold!
Everyone hold!
K-97 shot fired, subject down.
Hey, I have command right now!
We're gonna have to cut that barbed wire. We're gonna need a shield for you to go up there. This is like cut that barbed wire.
Do you have a shield, brother?
I don't have a shield. Anybody have a shield?
Hold until we have a shield.
Hey, let's see if we got to start a drone. Get a drone over him.
Jim, find me a shield, please. Mike's working on it. And we have a shield. Let's go.
Got a shield? Heads up, I'm grabbing bolt cutters.
The barrage intensified as others joined. One body camera recording captured no fewer than 35 shots. Though the overlapping reports obscured any precise tally, Morales, crumpled to the barrage of bullets, fell to the ground beside the wreckage. The scene held for moments longer. No movement from him prompted the deployment of a canine to probe for threats. Only then did officers close in, securing the perimeter and initiating medical efforts.
South County Sheriff, Central Duck, hey, make yourself known! Show us your hands! Revere!
You got a car coming, just so you guys know, you got a truck coming up this road right now.
Dog on the bike, no movement, let's move forward. Push. Going up high. Hands are empty, right hand's empty. Right hand's empty, can we see the left hand?
Yeah, we got the car.
I got the dog.
He was rushed to a hospital, where he was declared dead. Searchers found no gun, no blade, nothing that matched the apparent threat he had brandished. The California Department of Justice stepped in under Assembly Bill 1506, mandating scrutiny of officer-involved shootings where the subject ends up unarmed. The parallel investigation ran alongside the Elk Grove probe into the stabbing and the Highway Patrol's review of the pursuit itself, all under the Sheriff's Office umbrella for coordination. Weeks later, on January 16th and 20th of 2026, the Sacramento County Sheriff's Office made public a compiled 15-minute video reel. It wove together body-worn clips, dash cam views, the initial 911 transmission, and dispatch logs.
Former deputy was Marvin Morales. KCRE3 has previously reported on the 40-year-old who was accused of lying about a 2023 fentanyl overdose. So today, this all started about 8 o'clock this morning, and Elk Grove police, they got a call from a mom concerned about the safety of her two children at home. Officers say they found an 11-year-old boy stabbed at that home. That boy later died at the hospital. A 6-year-old girl was also there and was not physically hurt.
Authorities say that Morales left, and there was a chase down Interstate 5 that ended in a shooting with Sacramento County deputies on I-5 near Highway 12. Morales was taken to the hospital where he died. The CHP is now in charge of the investigation from the highway. They're calling this a tragedy.
Outside the Farrell Way address, a growing pile of flowers and candles marked the spot, a silent testament from neighbors and strangers alike. The surviving family, mother and daughter, navigating the aftermath in private, their world destroyed. Listener, it's worth pausing here to consider deeper currents at play. Cases like this force a reckoning with the invisible toll of addiction on those who once stood on the front lines of public safety. Morales' path from badge wearer to perpetrator shows how just unaddressed substance issues can erode the very institutions meant to safeguard society. The speed with which a domestic tragedy escalated into lethal pursuit leaves a feeling of uncertainty. How can one protect and serve while under the control of fentanyl addiction? As of early 2026, the inquiries grind on without resolution in the public eye. No new indictments or conclusions have surfaced, and I likely won't update even if there is some small closure that comes. The reality is, a power-abusing, drug-addicted cop received his reward for all of his efforts. He stabbed his son to death and then was executed in return. The world will not mourn for Marvin Morales, but what remains is an irrevocable loss. A child's life was cut short, a sister is without her brother, and a mother must carry on with the knowledge that the man who should have played the role as protector, as guardian, took away her son. There was a moment, and she didn't know it, that she hugged her son for the last time, and now they're separated by eternity. Listener, this is your cue. Now is the time that you call your loved ones and tell them how much you love them. You never know, it could be your last opportunity.